Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Ana Mateo reports on rising polio cases in Pakistan. We tell you about this year's Baseball World Series. Then, terms for Halloween on Everyday Grammar. And finally, the lesson of the day. But first...
In Pakistan, polio cases are rising ahead of a new vaccination campaign. Violence targeting health workers has also hurt years of efforts toward making the country polio-free. The World Health Organization says polio is a highly infectious disease caused by a virus. The disease largely affects children under age 5. The virus is transmitted from person to person and spread mainly through contact. It invades the nervous system and causes a person to be unable to move arms, legs, or muscles, a condition called paralysis. Among those paralyzed, up to 10% die when their breathing muscles become immobilized. Since January, health officials have confirmed 39 new polio cases in Pakistan, compared to only 6 last year, said Anwarul Haq. He is with the National Emergency Operations Center for Polio Eradication. Eradication means getting rid of something completely. The new nationwide campaign starts on October 28th. The campaign aims to vaccinate at least 32 million children. The whole purpose of these campaigns is to achieve the target of making Pakistan a polio-free state, Haq said. Pakistan regularly launches campaigns against polio, despite attacks on the workers and police assigned to protect them. Militants falsely claim that the vaccination campaigns are a Western attempt to sterilize children. To sterilize means to make someone unable to produce children. Most of the new polio cases were reported in the southwestern Balochistan and southern Sindh provinces. The next two areas with the most cases are Khyber Pakhtunkhwa and eastern Punjab. The locations worry officials since previous cases were from the northwest areas bordering Afghanistan. In September, this is where the Taliban government suddenly stopped a house-to-house vaccination campaign. Afghanistan and Pakistan are the two countries in which the spread of the possibly deadly, paralyzing disease has never been eradicated. Officials in Pakistan have said that the Taliban's decision will have major effects beyond the Afghan border. People from both sides frequently travel to each other's country. The WHO has confirmed 18 polio cases in Afghanistan this year. All but 2 of these cases were in the south of the country. That number is up from 6 cases in 2023. In June, Afghanistan started a house-to-house vaccination campaign for the first time in 5 years. The campaign has helped to reach the majority of children targeted, officials at the WHO said. Health officials in Pakistan say they want both sides to hold anti-polio campaigns at the same time. I'm Ana Mateo.
Baseball has long called its championship the World Series, although it only involves teams playing in the United States and Canada. It started in 1903 when the Pittsburgh Pirates of the National League beat the Boston Americans of the American League for the championship. But the first official World Series, as it is known today, was in 1905 between the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Athletics. Since then, the New York Yankees have won 27 World Series titles, more than any other team. This year, the Yankees will face the Los Angeles Dodgers for what sports fans believe will be a World Series seen around the world. The competition is a best-of-seven game championship. That means 4 wins in the series are needed to become the champion. This year's series might have everything that sports fans could want. It is a competition between teams from the 2 largest cities in the U.S. It is a competition between the 2 best teams in baseball. And the contest involves 2 of the biggest baseball stars, Shohei Ohtani of Japan and Aaron Judge of the U.S. Both players have already won the Most Valuable Player Award, or MVP, given to the best player in the National League and the American League. Ohtani has won it twice, and Judge once. The 2 are likely to be named MVP in each league again this year. Ohtani joined the Dodgers earlier this year with a record 10-year contract valued at $700 million. After receiving the largest contract ever in team sports history, Ohtani hit 54 home runs, stole 59 bases, and led the National League in almost all offensive numbers. Talking to reporters on Tuesday, October 22nd, Judge called Ohtani the best player in the game. He added that Ohtani hits for average, he hits for power, the speed. But Judge himself holds the American League record with 62 home runs in 2022. This year, he leads all of baseball, hitting 58 home runs, and he also leads all of baseball, both American and National leagues, in offensive numbers, including 144 RBIs, 133 walks, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage. As expected, Ohtani led the Dodgers to the best record in the National League, and Judge captained the Yankees to the best record in the American League. The 2 best players, though, have a lot of help. The Dodgers have 2 former MVPs, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, in the lineup. The Yankees have just 1 former MVP in Giancarlo Stanton. But they also have Juan Soto of the Dominican Republic, who is often called a generational talent in the game. The first game of the 2024 World Series will start on Friday, October 25th. The games are sold out, meaning all tickets have been sold. But for those who still want to watch the game in person, it is possible to pay more than $1,000 for a seat, or up to $10,000 for the best seats, in the reselling market StubHub. Others can watch the television broadcast that is expected to set a record for people watching in Ohtani's home country of Japan. After the Dodgers beat the New York Mets to get to the World Series, Ohtani told reporters the goal was to get this far. As for Judge, getting a chance to play on the biggest stage and in the biggest moment, I think that's going to be pretty cool to watch, he said. I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
Holiday in the United States is coming up soon. Halloween happens on the last day of October. If you have lived in the U.S., you have probably noticed many changes in the month or so before Halloween. Let's hear about some of them and explore the vocabulary and expressions you might hear this time of year. First, you should know about trick-or-treating. Children dress up in special clothes or costumes to look like frightening creatures. They might dress up as little vampires, ghosts and witches, or superheroes. Then their parents walk with them to the homes of neighbors, where the children knock at the door and call out, "Trick or treat!" Some believe the custom goes back to an old Celtic celebration, in which people went from door to door asking for firewood. The Celts believed that the spirits of the dead would return to their homes on October 31st, the day of the autumn feast. The Celts would build large fires to frighten away evil spirits on that night. In modern-day Halloween, the children ask for candy. That's the treat part. The trick part is what happens if you do not give them something. Before Halloween, communities might create a haunted house in an old house or open field. Visitors can walk through the place and be frightened and surprised by unusual noises and people dressed up like ghosts or spirits. Fear plays a big part in Halloween celebrations. The words we use to talk about fear include scary, an adjective to show something causes fear, and afraid, an adjective that describes the person who feels fear. We might say, "I'm scared of ghosts," to say we are afraid of ghosts. Another word we use to describe things that cause fear is spooky. Little people trying to look like ghosts might say, "Boo," to frighten others. Let's put some of these expressions together to see how they work.
Greg has a really scary costume this year. He said "boo" to me, and I jumped. Katie's house looks really spooky with all those skeletons and spider webs that she put out in her yard. I'm not afraid of ghosts, but seeing people dressed up as witches scares me.
You will see that stores begin offering many kinds of candies in small packages. We call these individually wrapped treats. They are meant for handing out to children as part of trick-or-treating. Some candy makers call these small packages fun-sized treats. People put some strange things on and around their homes for Halloween. People hang toy spiders, skeletons, and other scary decorations on trees and bushes. you will see pumpkins everywhere. People often empty the pumpkins and make scary faces on them. Then they place a candle inside so the pumpkin face shines in the night. We call these jack-o'-lanterns. The custom of carving scary faces into vegetables is believed to come to us from the Irish. They had an old story about a wandering soul named Stingy Jack. They carved faces in turnips to frighten him away. When they came to America, they found the pumpkin was widely available. So they carved faces into pumpkins and made what we call the jack-o'-lantern today. Now, children carry plastic buckets made to look like a carved pumpkin. They fill them with candy as they trick-or-treat around their neighborhood. We close with the usual conversation around Halloween in the U.S. See how many traditions and customs you can spot.
Are you going to any Halloween parties this year?
No, I have to take my kids trick-or-treating. Then I'm too tired to dress up and go out to a party. Are you going?
Yes, I'm going to be a vampire this year. My block has a great party with a haunted house every year.
Oh, I wish I could go. Hey, will you help me carve these pumpkins? I want to put them out front.
Sure. I love carving jack-o'-lanterns. Can I have some of that candy while I'm working?
Of course. Help yourself to those fun-sized Hershey bars. I only have 100 of them.
Does your culture have any celebrations where you dress up or give out treats? Write to us in the comments to tell us about them. And that's Everyday Grammar for Halloween. Boo! I'm Jill Robbins.
You are listening to the VOA Learning English podcast. We have Jill with us today to talk about her Everyday Grammar program. Jill, would you like to tell us about some vocabulary words from this week's program?
Sure, Mario. One is the word costume. We use this word to talk about the special clothing people wear at Halloween, but at other times too. In some cases, it can mean a traditional set of clothes, like you might wear to a folk dance in some countries. But in the case of Halloween, it means clothing that makes you look like another person or a thing.
Oh, you mean like the superheroes and witches that you see on the Halloween holiday?
Exactly, or vampires. There's a related word we also use as a verb for the practice of putting on a costume. We call it cosplay. I have friends who like to cosplay as comic book characters.
Thank you for spending some time with us today, Jill. We look forward to next time.
It's always nice to talk with you, Mario, and with our podcast friends. See you again soon.
Is Anna Mateo.
My name is Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
You're listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Today, we're going to talk about a scene from Lesson 42 of the series. And we're going to explain some things about that word, scene, spelled S-C-E-N-E. Because in Lesson 42, Anna was at the scene of a crime.
A scene means the setting or place where something happens. And in a movie or play, a scene is where one series of events happens, set in one particular place.
For example, A movie can have a scene that happens in a kitchen, another scene that happens in a car, a scene that happens in a park, and so on.
In Lesson 42, the scene of the crime is just outside of the building where Anna works. Let's listen to find out what Anna saw at the crime scene. Something was stolen from someone. Listen and find out.
Hello, I'm Guy Newsman with News Channel XYZ. I'm here in Washington, D.C. at the scene of a crime. We are talking with this woman. She saw the crime during her lunch break. It looks like she hurt herself while she was trying to stop the crime. Tell us your name.
Hi, Guy. I'm Anna.
Anna, what did you see and what happened to your arm?
Guy, I was minding my own business. See, I work over there.
Mm-hmm.
I left work to get some lunch. Then suddenly, I heard a woman yelling. She was yelling like this. Help! Help!
Mm-hmm.
Two robbers were grabbing her bag. She was hitting them with her umbrella.
Is that when you hurt your arm?
No. At that time, I was not fighting the robbers.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was too far away, and I didn't have my own umbrella.
So what happened next?
They grabbed her bag and ran away.
Mm-hmm.
So I grabbed her umbrella and ran after the robbers.
Then that is the time that you hurt your arm?
No. I was yelling, stop, robbers, stop! She was yelling, hey, come back with my umbrella!
When you watch the video, you can easily see that to grab means to take something quickly and forcefully. The robbers grabbed and stole the woman's handbag, and then Anna grabbed the woman's umbrella.
The poor woman has now had two things taken from her.
We'll need to listen to more of Lesson 42 later to see if she gets them back. But first, let's talk a little bit more about this word, grab.
Sure. While grab means to hold or take an object, we also use this verb informally in the expression to grab a bite. That means to get something to eat.
Yeah, and when we invite friends to go out, we often say, would you like to grab a drink? Or would you like to grab a bite?
Have you ever noticed how some words sound funny if you say them over and over?
Oh, you mean like this? Grab, 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 grab.
All right, that's enough. Yes, like that. Well, at least our listeners are getting to hear that word lots of times.
I think we might be digressing or getting away from the story of the crime scene. We still don't know how Anna hurt her arm or whether anyone caught the robbers.
True, but there's an easy way to find out. Let's listen.
Then that is the time that you hurt your arm?
No. I was yelling, stop, robbers, stop! She was yelling, hey, come back with my umbrella!
Were you afraid?
I had no time to be afraid, Guy. Well, I had time while I was resting on a bench. I had a lot of time.
Then what happened?
The robbers got on a bus, so I ran after the bus. While I was running, I tripped and fell.
And that is the time that you hurt your arm?
No. While I was lying on the ground, someone stepped on my arm.
Ouch! That's too bad.
Yeah, and they didn't apologize. Well, then the robbers got themselves kicked off the bus.
Why?
They didn't pay. You've got to pay when you get on a bus. The police came and took them away.
And that's when you hurt your arm?
No.
Then when did you hurt yourself?
Well, Guy, by this time, I was feeling very hungry. So I went to my office to get a snack.
Anna, I'm calling for help right now. Hello. Yes, please come right away. My coworker is stuck in a vending machine.
You hurt your arm. in a vending machine buying a bag of chips?
I was really hungry, and the bag was stuck. I had to...
That's all from News Channel XYZ. This is Guy Newsman saying goodbye. Okay, we have to find ourselves another story, guys.
Until next time. Hi, Mom.
So, just to be clear, a vending machine has snacks in it, like bags of chips, nuts, or candy bars. You pay for the snacks at the machine, and the machine moves the snack into a place where you can reach it.
But like Anna said, sometimes the snacks get stuck, and then you can't reach them, even after you paid.
And that's when people sometimes hurt themselves, the way Anna hurt herself, by trying to get the snack that is stuck. I once heard about a man who seriously hurt himself by pulling so hard on a vending machine that the machine tipped over and fell on top of him.
That's a high price to pay for a snack. We sometimes do things to ourselves that we wish we didn't do.
Jill, I noticed that we just used the pronouns themselves, herself, himself, and ourselves. We use these reflexive pronouns when the subject of the sentence is the same as the object.
Right. So instead of saying Anna hurt Anna, we say Anna hurt herself. You can learn more about reflexive pronouns and much more by downloading the lesson plan that comes with Lesson 42 of Let's Learn English. You can find that lesson plan on our website at learningenglish.voanews.com.
I think Lesson 42 has some funny scenes that our listeners will enjoy seeing. Now, let's talk a little more about that word, scene.
Well, we have the idiomatic expression, to make a scene. That means somebody is being very dramatic and emotional to bring attention to themselves, but perhaps in a way that they shouldn't be.
When we say someone is making a scene, we are usually criticizing them for being too emotional or upsetting the people around them.
But you know what? In some situations, maybe making a scene is a good way to get people to pay attention to you.
That may be true. And I definitely think some teenagers will agree with you. But I'm not sure their parents do.
Perhaps. We also have the adjective scenic. This describes a place or places with very nice views of nature.
In the eastern United States, we have a scenic highway called the Blue Ridge Parkway. The road goes near the mountaintops of the Appalachian Mountains for hundreds of kilometers. Have you ever driven on the Blue Ridge Parkway, Jill?
I have. And from this scenic highway, can you guess what you can see?
What can I see from this scenic highway? Well, I can see lots of scenery.
That's spelled S-C-E-N-E-R-Y. Scenery is just another word for the view of nature that you can see.
So, to summarize, we can talk in general about a setting or a place, and we call that the scene. And then we have a scene from a movie or a play, and then there's the idiom to make a scene, the adjective scenic, and the noun scenery.
And we hope today's lesson of the day has grabbed your attention. Be sure to share it with your friends and family. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks for listening to the Learning English Podcast. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter.